بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الأنبياء وإمام الرسل سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وقرة أعيننا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، يقول الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا. ويقول سبحانه: لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا وكلا وعد الله الحسنى. ويقول سبحانه: محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. ويقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. وقال الصحابي الجليل عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه: من كان مستنا فليستن بمن قد مات، فإن الحي لا تؤمن عليه الفتنة. أولئك أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، أبر هذه الأمة قلوبا وأعمقها علما وأقلها تكلفا، قوم اختارهم الله سبحانه وتعالى لصحبة نبيه وإقامة دينه، فاعرفوا لهم حقهم وفي رواية فضلهم وتمسكوا بهديهم فإنهم كانوا على الهدي المستقيم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم والصحابي الجليل. اللهم صل على محمد، اللهم صل على محمد، اللهم صل على محمد. Among the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a companion by the name of Abdullah bin Jahash radiyallahu an. His kunya patronym was Abu Muhammad. His lineage is Abdullah, the son of Jahash, who was the son of Ri'ab, who was the son of Ya'mur, who was the son of Sabirah, who was the son of Murrah, who was the son of Kabir or Kathir, who was the son of Ghanam, who was the son of Dudan, who was the son of Asad, who was the son of Khuzaymah. Hence he was Al-Asadi, belonging to the tribe of Banu Asad. His mother was Umaymah, the daughter of Abdul Muttalib, the Ammah, Pupi, maternal aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, making him and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam first cousins. In the Jahiliyyah, the Arabs had a custom where they would align themselves with different Arab tribes for the sake of protection and safety at the time of war and fights and at the time of need. So he formed an alliance with Harb bin Umayyah. And according to one narration, he formed an alliance with the tribe of Banu Abd Shams. In reality, there is no contradiction between both of the narrations, because Harb bin Umayyah was a member of the Banu Abd Shams tribe. Hence, by extension, he formed an alliance with the entire tribe. So Hilfan, he was min hulafai Bani Abd Shams. He was regarded to be one of them. One of his distinctions is that he was among the early Muslims who gave a lot of sacrifice for the sake of deen. He was among the as-sabiqoon al-awwaloon, the forerunners in Islam. And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, was-sabiqoon as-sabiqoon, those who are the forerunners in iman, Islam, and in doing good deeds and righteous deeds, they will be the forerunners in Jannah. والسابقون في الإيمان والإسلام والأعمال الصالحة هم السابقون في الجنة. He was among those companions رضي الله عنهم أجمعين who accepted Islam before Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم entered دار الأرقم. What is دار الأرقم? This is the house of أرقم بن أبي الأرقم رضي الله عنه. Who was this great companion of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم? His kunya patronym was Abu Abdullah. His father's name was Abd Manaf, whose kunya and patronym was Abu al-Arqam. His family lineage is, he is Arqam, the son of Abu al-Arqam, who was the son of Asad, who was the son of Abdullah, who was the son of Umar, who was the son of Makhzum. Hence he was al-Makhzumi, belonging to the tribe of Banu Makhzum from his father's side. His mother's name was also Umayma, who was the daughter of Harith, who was the son of Hibala, who was the son of Umayr, who was the son of Ghubshan, who was the son of Khuza'a. Hence he was Al-Khuza'i from his mother's side. So he was a Makhzumi from his father's side and a Khuza'i from his mother's side. And from both sides of his family, he came from a family on both sides who in the Jahiliyyah even were very well respected and known for their qualities of leadership and holding positions of leadership in the community. His grandfather Abu Jundub, Asad bin Abdullah, was regarded to be among the well-noted, distinguished, high-level leaders of the Quraysh in Mecca. And his khal, Mamu, maternal uncle, Nafi' bin al-Harith radiallahu an, would go on to become the governor of Mecca during the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu an. So it is only assumed that these qualities and traits of leadership and intelligence would also be inherited by Arqam radiallahu an. This is the reason why it is said regarding him, كان من عقلاء قريش. He was among the smart and intelligent people among the Quraysh. So another distinction of his, like Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu an, is that both of them were among the early Muslims who went through a lot of difficulty. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا وكلا وعد الله الحسنى. So anyone who is the forerunner in anything, they have to go through a lot of sacrifice and a lot of effort for the sake of deen. And then through their sacrifices and efforts, those who come after them, Allah Ta'ala makes it easy for them. That is why the famous saying in Arabic is Al-Fadlu Lil-Mutaqaddimi. Virtue belongs to the forerunner. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that those of you who accepted Iman and you spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fought in his path before the conquest of Mecca, and those among you who accepted Iman and Islam and you spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fought in his path after the conquest of Mecca, you are not the same. So those companions who are min as-sabiqin al-awwaleen, they hold a special distinction and rank and status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, wa kullu wa'ada Allahu al-husna, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised all of the companions, whether they be those who accepted Iman in the early days or they accepted Iman after the conquest of Mecca when things became easier for the Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised all of them al-husna, ay al-jannat al-husna, the most excellent paradise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared his pleasure upon them, radiyallahu anhum wa radu anh. And this is jumla khabariyya, not jumla insha'iyya, في حق الصحابة. Because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared that he is pleased with them and he has prepared for them Jannah. So this is the reason why the ulama generally, out of their respect for the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And because of this verse, whenever we take the name of any Sahabi, we say radiyallahu an. So radiyallahu an, this is not jumla insha'iyya du'a'iyya. When we say radiyallahu an, the translation of this is not may Allah be pleased with him. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already declared his pleasure upon him, and he is a jannati. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. This ayah is also referring to all of the sahaba. And the minhum in this ayah is not min tab'idiyya, it is min bayaniyya. That means all of the companions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised them forgiveness and immense reward in the form of Jannah. So, O enemy of the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions, how dare you have the audacity to criticize any of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared his pleasure upon them and he has promised each one of them Jannah. And that's why the general principle of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah is As-Sahabatu kulluhum udul. All of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam are upright, just, reliable, and trustworthy, and religious, and pious. And not a single one of them is regarded to be, wal-ayyadu billah, impious. This is the reason why Qadi Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi al-Maliki rahimahullah, in his famous book regarding the status of the Sahaba al-Awasim min al-Qawasim, he quotes the ulama of the past who used to say, anyone who criticizes and disparages any of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يُخَافُ عَلَيْهِ الْكُفْرِ, it is feared that this will lead to kufr. This is not permissible. And the famous scholar, muhaddith and faqih, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah, was asked, who is more better, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, who was one of the katibin wahi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam among many of his virtues, or Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, who is one of the most celebrated non-companions of Rasulullah, non-companions among the early Muslims. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah said, the dust that accumulated under the hoof of the horse of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu when he did jihad fi sabilillah alongside Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, despite all of his religiosity and piety, is not even equal to that. So it doesn't matter how religious and pious the people are after the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they can never reach the level of any sahabi radiallahu anhu. Because the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they have a distinction that no one after them can ever have, and that is the physical companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Due to the barakah of the physical suhba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they have become the most virtuous creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ba'd al-anbiya. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ra'asu as-sadiqeen wa ra'asu al-awliya'i wa-s-sulaha. And this is the distinction of the suhba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the reason why the sahaba had many qualities, but why was the word sahabi used to describe them? Because they had the physical companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Arqam radiallahu an, what is his distinction? His distinction is that his house was chosen by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to pray in, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conducted his dini and da'wati and islahi and tarbiyati efforts from his house. Because in those days the Muslims were being harmed and persecuted for being believers. وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن نَغْنَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. The only reason why the enemies of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not like them and found fault in them, their only fault was they were true believers in Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made them self-sufficient and had enriched them with the virtue of Islam. This was their only crime. So because of this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was looking for a house that the Muslim can congregate in and pray and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he can do his dini efforts from there. So how lucky and fortunate is Arqam radiyallahu anhu that Allah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose his house. So his house was near the Mount Safa, between which and Marwa the Hujjaj do sa'i. And in this house, many great companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted Islam. Among the most famous companions to accept Islam in this house was Umar radiallahu anhu. So it is said that the second night after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Darul Arqam, it was a Thursday night, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua, Allahumma a'izz al-Islam bi ahabbi ar-rajulayn ilayk, Umar ibn al-Khattab aw Amr ibn Hisham. O Allah, strengthen Islam through the one who is the most beloved of the two men to you, Umar ibn Khattab or Amr ibn Hisham. So Amr ibn Hisham was the name of Abu Jahl. And so this dua was accepted in favor of Umar radiallahu anhu. And so the story of the conversion of Umar radiallahu anhu to Islam is very well known. So he left his house with the intention of assassinating Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he came back a true lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and a believer in his religion, to such an extent that if he saw anyone trying to cause any harm to Rasulullah or his deen, he would be ready to cut off his head. And he is ready to sacrifice his life in lieu of not even a thorn pricking the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, in the Jahiliyyah, the mushrikeen of Makkah used to say regarding Umar radiallahu anhu, if there is anyone who can assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is him. Because he has so much hatred for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they used to famously say among themselves that the donkey of the son of Khattab will accept Islam before his son accepts Islam. لا يسلم ابن الخطاب حتى يسلم حماره. And then after Umar radiallahu anhu accepted Islam, this is when the Muslims, they started to pray in the haram, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to give da'wah openly. So by that time there were approximately 40 Muslims, and Umar radiallahu anhu famously said that we will not hide anymore, there is no need to hide. So then he made the famous announcement on the Mount of Safa and Marwa and by the haram, that O Quraysh and Mushrikeen of Makkah, from today we will pray openly in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Kaaba, the Al-Masjid al-Haram. He who wishes to make his wife a widow and make his children a orphan, let him do something about it. So this is when there was no need to use the house of Arqam radiallahu anhu anymore. Otherwise, Arqam radiallahu anhu and the early Muslims, they went through a lot of difficulty and they were persecuted a lot. Arqam radiallahu anhu was the seventh companion to accept Islam at a time when accepting Islam was very difficult. So this is a sign of his resolve and patience, and him being min as-sabiqin al-awwalin. His son Uthman bin al-Arqam radiyallahu anhuma says, Ana bunu sab'atin fil Islam, aslama abi sabi'a sab'atin. I am the son of that companion who was the seventh Muslim in Islam. My father accepted Islam while he was the seventh of the seven Muslims. So he was among the early Muslims. And then when the time of the migration to Medina came, then he also migrated with the Muslims. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam formed a brotherhood between him and Abu Talha, Zaid bin Sahal radiallahu anhu. So when the Muhajirin initially migrated from Mecca to Medina, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam formed a bond of brotherhood between a Muhajir and a Ansari. So it was the responsibility of the Ansari and his family to take care of the Muhajir and his family to such an extent that shara'an they would even inherit from one another. And when the Ansar, they were able to stand on their own two feet, then this ruling was abrogated by the famous ayah in the Quran, وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Those who are related by blood to one another are more deserving and rightful of inheriting from one another in accordance to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his book. Another virtue and distinction of Arqam radiallahu an is that he is a Badri Sahabi. And we all know that those Sahaba, 313 of them, who participated in the Battle of Badr, they have a special rank and status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the Battle of Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a sword, and with this sword he fought. So this is also another virtue of him, that the sword that he used to fight in the Battle of Badr was gifted to him by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. And then he went on to fight in every expedition alongside Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Uhud, the Battle of Khandaq, and every other expedition and battle he fought alongside Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is also another virtue, that he had the distinction, one of the distinction of being the Sahabi who participated in every ghazwa that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam participated in. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a lot of barakah in his life. So he was 83 years old when he passed away in the year 53 or 55 Hijri. Ala ikhtilaf al-qawlain. He passed away in Medina Munawwara, and he is buried in Jannatul Baqiyah. And it is not in the decree of everyone to be buried in Jannatul Baqiyah. Anyone who is buried here, this is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that inshallah he is from the people of Jannah. Who prayed his Salatul Janazah and led his Salatul Janazah? The great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. Arqam radiallahu anhu, he made wasiyah that Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu should lead his janazah prayer. And who was Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu? He was min al-asharati al-mubasharati bil-jannah. So he was among those 10 companions who were given the glad tiding of Jannah in one sitting, fi majlisin wahid. Otherwise, there are other companions who are also given glad tidings of Jannah upon the blessed tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his lifetime. And by default, every companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is maw'ud bil jannati wal maghfirati wal ajri al azim. They have been promised Jannah, forgiveness, and immense reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. So when we say that ashara mubashara, their distinction is that in one gathering, they were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, wa Umar fil Jannah, wa Uthman fil Jannah, wa Ali fil Jannah, ila akhirih. He left five children after him, two sons and three daughters. So like Arqam radiallahu anhu, Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu anhu was also among the early Muslims. So after he accepted Islam, his family had to migrate to Habasha twice to save themselves from the harm and the persecution of the mushrikeen. So he, along with his siblings, his two brothers, Abu Ahmad and Ubaidullah, and his three sisters, Zainab, Ummu Habiba, and Hamna, they all migrated twice to Ethiopia, to Habasha. And his brother Ubaidullah, he became a Christian in Habasha, and he passed away as a Christian there. And then when the time of migration to Medina Munawwara came, then his entire family and his entire tribe, Rijalan wa Nisa'an, all of the men and women, they migrated to Medina Munawwara. So one of the distinctions of Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu an is that not only his entire family, his entire tribe accepted Islam, and they all together migrated to Medina Munawwara. So they were known as the Banu Ghanam bin Dudan tribe, the descendants of Ghanam, who was the son of Dudan. Like Arqam radiallahu an, he was also a Badri Sahabi. So when he migrated to Medina Munawwara, who was his brother among the Ansar? Rasulullah formed a bond of brotherhood between him and Asim bin Thabit bin Abi Muflih Ansari radiallahu an. So initially when they migrated to Medina Munawwara, they all resided in the house of Mubashir bin Abdul Munzir radiallahu an. And then after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam formed the mu'akhah between him and Asim bin Thabit bin Abi Muflih Ansari radiallahu an, then Abdullah bin Jahash and his family, they moved into his house. And then after the verse regarding وَأُولُوا الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ was revealed, then there was no need for this anymore. So he was also among the Badri Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and he was killed in the Battle of Uhud. So one day before the Battle of Uhud, he said to Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu an, the same Sahabiyun Jalil who was min al-ashrat al-mubasharati bil-jannah, who led the Salatul Janaza of Arqam radiallahu anhu upon his wasiyah. He said to him, let's go together and make dua, and each one will say Ameen to the dua of the other. So both of them went to a corner and they started to make dua. So first Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu made dua. He said, Allahumma idha laqitu al-aduwa ghadan فلقني رجلا شديدا بأسه شديدا حرده فأقتله فيك وأخذ سلبه. Oh Allah, tomorrow when I meet the enemy in the battlefield, cause me to meet such a enemy who is very strong and a fierce fighter, so that I may kill him for your sake and then take his possessions as spoils of war. To this, Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu anhu said, Ameen. And then Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu anhu made dua. He said, Allahumma ruzuqni ghadan rajulan shadidan ba'suhu shadidan haraduhu uqatiluhu fika wa yuqatiluni thumma yaqtuluni wa ya'khuduni fayajda'u anfi wa udhunayya fa'idha laqituka qulta ya عبد الله فيما جدع أنفك وأذناك قلت فيك وفي رسولك فتقول صدقت. So he said, I made the dua that, O Allah, grant me the ability to meet such an enemy tomorrow on the battlefield who will be strong and a fierce fighter, and then I will fight him for your sake and he will fight me, and then he will go on to kill me, and then he will take my body and he will cut off and amputate my nose and my two ears. And then when I meet you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the hereafter, and you ask me, O Abdullah, why was your nose and your ears cut off? For whose sake was this done? I will say to you, it was done for your sake and the sake of your messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to which you will say you have spoken the truth. He was so convinced of his martyrdom and has such desire for his martyrdom, and that the day before, the day of Uhud, when Ummu Salma radiallahu anha had brought like some drink for all of the participants in this battle, and each participant was supposed to drink only a portion for today and leave the portion for tomorrow. When his time to drink his portion for the day came, he drank all of it. So then someone said to him, you should have left some behind for tomorrow. You may need it tomorrow. Do you know what will happen to you tomorrow? So he was so convinced that he will become a shaheed fi sabilillah, because he was so desirous of it. He said, لَأَنْ أَلْقَى اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَأَنَا رَيَّانْ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْقَى اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَأَنَا ضَمْآنْ اللهم إني أسألك أن يستشهد وأن يمثل بي فتقول بما صنعك بما فيما صنع بك هذا فأقول فيك وفي رسولك. So he said, my meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while being fully saturated is more beloved to me than my meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while I'm in a state of severe thirst. What is he meaning by this? That means he is sure that tomorrow he will become a shaheed fi sabilillah. And then he made dua to Allah Ta'ala, O Allah, I ask you to grant me the honor of being a martyr in your path. And I ask you that after I am martyred by the enemies of Allah and the mushrikeen, that they mutilate my body, so that on the day of judgment when I am asked, for whose sake has this been done to you, I can say this has been done to me for your sake and the sake of your messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In one narration it is mentioned that he even took an oath and qasam and said the following, Allahumma uqsimu alayka an nalqa al-aduwa fa'idha laqina al-aduwa أن يقتلوني ثم يبقر بطني ثم يمثل بي. He said, I take an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will meet the enemy tomorrow in the battlefield. And when we meet them in the battlefield, they will kill me. And then they will rip open my stomach and they will mutilate my body. In a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, رب أشعث أغبر مدفوع بالباب لو أقسم على الله لأبره. There are many people whose hair is disheveled. أشعث أغبر, their clothes are full of dust. مدفوع بالباب, if they were to go to anyone's house, people would push them away and turn them down. So what does this mean? That means they are people who don't hold any significance or status or standing in the eyes of the people. لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّهُ. But their status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such, and their ta'alluq ma'allah and ruhaniyat and ilahiyat is so strong, that if they were to take a qasam by the name of Allah ta'ala that I will do this or this will happen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure that it happens, and Allah ta'ala will make sure that he fulfills his qasam, so that he doesn't get the sin of breaking his oath and kafaratul yameen doesn't become incumbent upon him. So if he takes an oath that such and such thing will happen, or I will do such and such thing by Allah, Allah Ta'ala will make it happen. And this is exactly what happened with Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu anhu. So after making this dua, when the time came to fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he fought with such force and fervor that his sword broke into pieces. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a branch of a palm tree, and he used this as his sword. And for a very long time he continued to fight with this branch of a palm tree, until finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled his desire of becoming a martyr in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mushrik Abu al-Hakam bin Akhnas al-Thaqafi killed him. Then the mushrikeen took his body and they mutilated it. They cut off his nose and his ears and they strung it in a thread. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu says, Wallah, the dua of Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu anhu was far better than my dua. لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ آخِرَ النَّهَارِ وَإِنَّ أَنْفَهُ وَأُذُنَيْهِ لَمُعَلَّقَانِ فِي خَيْطٍ. I saw him at the end of the day and his ears and his nose were hanging by a thread. the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in used to refer to Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu anhu as al-mujadda'u fillah. This was his laqab. And the one whose nose and ears were cut off for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was buried in one grave alongside his khal, his mamu, his maternal uncle, Sayyid al-Shuhada, Hazrat Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prays salatul janaza upon both of them. So this is also one of his virtues, that he had the honor of being buried in the same grave as his uncle, who was Sayyid al-Shuhada. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed salatul janaza upon both of them. So he was just over 40 years old when he became shaheed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are many stories and incidents like this of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in that show how much desire and fervor they had to strive for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for them, akhirah was everything, and they had no desire for the dunya. Their whole raghbah, desire and wishes in their life revolved and rotated around the life of the hereafter. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. Indeed, the abode of the afterlife is the real life. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. If they only knew مَا آثَرُوا الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ, they would not have given preference to the life of this world over the life of the hereafter. But they do the opposite. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. Rather, you give preference to the life of this world, whereas the life of the hereafter is far better and everlasting. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. Because when a person passes away, يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثَةٌ أَهْلُهُ يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثَةٌ يَرْجِعُ مِنْهَا إِثْنَانٌ وَيَبْقَى عَمَلُهُ يَتْبَعُ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ فَيَرْجِعُ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَيَبْقَى وَاحِدٌ عَمَلُهُ. So when a person passes away, three things follow him, two of them return, and one thing remains with him in the grave. So the three things are his family, his wealth, and his deeds. So his deeds, his wealth immediately becomes the possession of his heirs after he passes away. So after a person passes away, whatever wealth and possessions he left behind, it immediately becomes the inheritance of his family. And then this same family, who now became the heir of all of his wealth and possessions, they only follow him till the grave, but no one can go with him inside the grave. Have we ever seen anyone who says that, you know, I love my family member so much that now let me go with him inside the grave? There is no example of this in human history that anyone ever did this. And the only thing that will remain with a person is his actions. It is said that there are four kings who were the king of the entire world. Two of them were believers, two of them were disbelievers. The two disbelievers were Namrud and Bukh Nasr, and the two believers were Sulaiman alayhi salam, Rabbi habli mulka la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'di, and Dhul Qarnayn, who is mentioned in the Quran. So it is mentioned that when he was passing away, he made wasiyah that after I pass away, stretch out my hand like this in the grave, so that when anyone comes to visit me, they can see that despite me being the king of the entire world and I possessed everything of this world, I am leaving this world empty-handed. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us the same desire for the akhirah that the sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in had. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to prioritize akhirah over the dunya and to understand that we have not been created for this temporary world, rather we have been created for the akhirah. Thus may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the people of the akhirah and not make us from the people of the dunya. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Intending to pray Salatul Ishraq, so we cannot pray Salatul Ishraq yet. We have to wait at least another 15 minutes or like 20 minutes.